It's 7 o'clock on 91.7 KALW San Francisco, and time now for Minds Over Matter, everyone's favorite quiz show. Laurie Fisher is your guest moderator, and he's joined tonight by panelists Kira Pace and Jeremy Horowitz.
You ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
If it ain't Welcome, dry, everybody, to Minds Over Matter, the first one of 2008 and the first live show in 3 weeks. We've had 2 weeks of wonderful recorded shows by Dana, who is off gallivanting someplace that... We don't know. You might recognize that this isn't his voice. This is Laurie Fisher, guest hosting, and I'm with Kira Pace, technical editor, and Jeremy Horowitz, cryptographer, and I feel like a substitute teacher.
I think it's actually Dana Rodriguez here, and he's just doing another one of his impressions that he is now so known for.
He does the great Laurie Fisher impression. Yeah. We know that, yeah. So as substitute teacher, I expect everyone to break all the rules constantly.
Are we going
to
watch a movie?
Of course. And there'll be a worksheet. And of course, school, we get out at 7:15 today, so just so we can all go home early. Nice. And one thing that Dana said is we have full permission tonight to ask the kinds of questions that he really disapproves of: sports, rock and roll, and according to Kira, all pop culture.
All your Bob's Burgers questions
tonight.
Call them in tonight.
Get in early. Yeah. Anything post 1987, tonight's the night. Anything about sports is tonight. But we also welcome questions on geography, movies, television, history, Bay Area trivia, literature, words, puzzles,
Bob's
current
words.
Events, radio. And so now's the time to get in. We have two phone numbers. One is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And we have a toll-free number. It's been toll-free all these years, 866-798-8255. Write down 866-798-8255. And, of course, you all recall that we have a new email, mindsovermatter1, the numeral 1, not the letter. I won't spell out mindsovermatter. Dana always does that, but I think people know how to spell mindsovermatter1 at gmail.com. And as you know, we don't read the emails here. In fact, we have no computer here to even cheat on the questions. Dana will be getting them at wherever he is and responding appropriately. Online, we're at KALW.org, both live. You can listen to us anywhere in the known and perhaps the unknown world. And there's a podcast for those who didn't listen tonight. Don't call in during the podcast, but you call, listen to the show. It's wonderful. It gets better and better week after week. I've been catching up with some old shows. So anyway, that's it. I'm Laurie Fisher tonight with my guests, Kira and Jeremy, and we will start, I think, with a round of introductions, followed by a round of questions, followed by lots of people calling in and giving us the answers. So our first one goes to me. Sorry. If you must drink every time Kira Pace coughs tonight, consider using something with a very low alcohol content, lest you end up hungover tomorrow. And so we'll have we have a nice sound effect board going on that.
Yeah. My apologies, by the way, because there will be some coughing. So you, of course, know Jeremy Horowitz is the mastermind behind the Twitter account @Paycheck, your one-stop shop for determining if Pritzker Prize-winning architect I.M. Pei is alive. That's @Paycheck, P-E-I-C-H-E-C-K, Paycheck, you'll love it.
Excellent.
So cool.
I wanted to leave some dead silence there. Anyway, I guess moderator Laurie Fisher makes no claims whatsoever to being a stable or even an unstable genius. He's content to merely be guest moderator of the first Minds Over Matter of 2018 and wishes a happy Golden Globeless New Year's to all of our listeners.
Yeah, I suspect many of our listeners might be splitting their time between the Golden Globes and us, but we're going to outdo them tonight. So let's just start with a round of questions. And Kira, you're first up between coughs.
All right. Since we have a studio audience here, let's start with this one.
A large one.
I have a lead-in question, as I do, followed by list. The 1994 arrest of John LaRoche and a group of Seminoles for poaching rare orchids in a state preserve is the basis of The Orchid Thief, a work of nonfiction by journalist Susan Orlean. The Orchid Thief is,
why don't you
in
ask
turn,
all those parts?
It is, in turn, the basis for what 2002 film?
Adaptation, period.
Yeah, that's
period.
Right.
It's good.
And so in a game I'm calling William Shakespeare's Adaptation, I will... Actually, I'm going to ask you this quick question, sorry. Though Elsinore is a brewery and not a castle, the mousetrap is a mouse that has literally been trapped in a bottle of beer, and the character of Ophelia has been reworked as former hockey star Jean Rosie LaRose. Comparisons of what 1983 film to Shakespeare's Hamlet are fairly apt, even if the bard never began any of his works with a false start called Mutants of 2051 AD.
Psst, act, I believe is a line from the filming of that. Strange Brew.
I'm glad you knew. I couldn't follow the question at all, but did he get it right?
He did.
Oh, wait
he
a
did.
Minute. Sorry. We have a substitute bell that I'm going to try out here. Wait a minute.
All right.
The bell seems to be on vacation.
The SCTV gang.
How's that?
Oh, nice.
No.
I have a couple others. Good near it. Okay. Do you have another question?
Yeah. So I'm going to give a list of films. You tell me the Shakespeare play that it adapted.
Okay.
All right. It's a list of seven.
All right.
The Boys from Syracuse. That was 1940. A Double Life, 1947. My Own Private Idaho, 1991. 10 Things I Hate About You, 1999. Get Over It, 2001. She's the Man, 2006, and Warm Bodies, 2013.
Okay, so the premise of the question, tell us again.
Yeah, that list of films, they are all some a little more loosely than others. They're all Shakespeare adaptations, so you tell me what Shakespeare play it adapted, and I guess maybe one each would
all
be
right.
fair.
I'll take the lowest hanging fruit, but my favorite of the bunch, 10 Things I Hate About You. I believe that's an adaptation of Tammy the Shrew.
It is.
I had to stop. I'm like, wait, Katerina, hold on. Yeah.
That wasn't much that, of that was,
I'm not sure I earned more than that, but fair enough.
No, okay. So there'll be no bell. There'll be this artificial bell. All right. I thought I knew My Own Private Idaho, but it only nothing comes to me from that.
There's only like 36 Shakespeare plays left.
Yeah,
just
there
take
are.
One.
Just take one. Boys from Syracuse should be... the one with the twins in it, which is only about six of them, but it leaves my mind now. So I think we'll leave them out there. Give us the six titles that people don't have.
Sure. The Boys from Syracuse, A Double Life, My Own Private Idaho, Get Over It, She's the Man, and Warm Bodies.
Very nice. Jeremy, how about you?
To answer another one of those? No, sorry. All right. I got a two-parter.
Great.
What actor replaced Kevin Spacey as J. Paul Getty in All the Money in the World?
Christopher Plummer.
Yeah.
And hypothetically, were that 88-year-old gentleman you just mentioned were to win an Oscar for the role, and he was nominated for Golden Globe tonight, he'd be the oldest winner of an acting Oscar. That's a record currently held by whom?
Oh.
It's the woman in Titanic, right?
No.
Oh, really? Somebody older.
Gloria Stewart.
Yeah, but somebody's older than her.
To win.
Or she didn't
to
win.
To win.
She didn't win, right?
And I think actually older than her, the woman from Amour, maybe, actually be older, but nominated.
Okay.
But I think until this Amour, she had the record for nomination.
I've just lost his name, but is it the guy in Little Miss Sunshine?
It is not Alan Arkin.
Thank you.
Good guess, though.
Okay.
Well, he's not nearly old enough.
He does, I think, hold the record from most time from first nomination to first win, though. Mm.
Okay.
Is it Jessica Tandy?
It is not Jessica Tandy.
Okay.
All right. So repeat the question.
Sure.
That's a good one.
So hypothetically, we're the 88-year-old gentleman you just mentioned as Kevin Spacey's replacement for J. Paul Getty and All the Money in the World to win an Oscar for that role. Nominations aren't out yet. He'd have to be nominated and win. He'd be the oldest winner of an acting Oscar, a record currently held by whom?
How old is the person who holds the record?
82. Well, that kind of gave a little bit away there. 82 at the time,
is it
I
Max
believe.
Von Sydow?
It is not Max von Sydow, who I don't think has an award.
Okay. I think he doesn't either. Yeah.
Okay. At least not an Academy Award for acting.
I'm going to ask one more, and then we'll take calls. Okay. Some of you know the mystery writer Sue Grafton passed away this year, and her detective series, Kinsey Millhorn, was based on one letter of the alphabet. So she wrote A is for alibi, and B is for burglar, and C is for corpse. So I would like to know, I'm taking the initials of the people sitting at this table, what was her K book?
Yep.
What was her S book?
Yep.
Are you going to know all these?
I know all of them, yeah.
Do you really?
I really do.
Okay.
Including
I'll give you
X,
two.
Which is the tough one.
I thought there wasn't an X.
It's just X.
Anyway, so there's a DK, an L for me, a J, and a S. So we're looking for D, K, L, J, and S, what they were. And since Jeremy's going to rip these off, I'll give Kara the first one if she knows any of them.
Is K for kidnap?
It's not.
Okay.
Oh, hi.
Why don't you give us two of them?
Sure. J is for judgment.
It is.
Seems appropriate. And K is for killer.
It is. All right. So we're looking for D, L, and S, and we'll take our first call. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Eid. How are you?
Hi, Eid. Good to hear from
very
you.
Very good. So if I tell you Happy New Year today, of course the fight was. But if I tell you Merry Christmas today and Happy New Year, who are you?
Is it Eastern Merry Orthodox Christmas. Or is it Armenian?
Well, what's the general term for it?
Jewish?
No.
a little off there, I think.
No, Orthodox.
Eastern Orthodox?
It's always a good answer.
Including the Egyptian Copts.
Oh,
so today they're Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody.
All right. Merry Christmas.
And Happy New Year.
Keep the celebration going.
It is it is January 7th, where they believe Christ was born.
All right.
That is a very beautiful thing. Okay, so the ancient Egyptians were really clever, in building pyramids, doing very advanced in science and medicine and food. And also. So they have found this food item that is from the pyramid era, 4,600 years old. But you can eat it today. You can actually open the container and eat it to taste as good as fresh one. What is it?
Well, just as good as the fresh one, I'm thinking a Twinkie.
Yeah. No.
They never go bad. We know that.
Yeah, exactly.
I will mention what is contained in a jar.
Honey.
Honey it is. Honey.
Very nice.
Honey was very, very common there, and they also used it for medicine when people got cut in their hand. It's the honey.
All right.
Do it. Okay, the other very quick question is, they were so advanced in medicine, you can see brain surgery. You really can in some of their murals and walls. But there's two very common medical thing we use every day that have initiated in ancient Egypt. Can you mention both of them? Two medicine. One is very common.
So these are medical instruments?
Say it again.
Oh, sorry, go on.
Are they instruments or are they medicines?
No, actually medical. I mean medicine,
Is anesthetic one of them? Some kind of anesthetic?
Well, they did that, but the two I have in mind are not. One is very common. So you have fever, you have headache, you go and get a bottle of that. What is that?
Well,
it's not aspirin.
Bourbon.
It is aspirin.
Not aspirin. But
yeah, you know what they got it from? They got it from the bark of the...
acetylsilic acid?
The willow tree.
Right.
They just got, and grind it and put it in belts, and actually it worked. What is the second one?
Beer.
Very common. It's another very common thing. We have not very advanced. Look at their medical instruments, identical to modern surgery.
Right, so medical. Now we're talking about instruments and not medicine?
No, we're talking about still medicine now.
Oh, still medicine.
It is still an ingredient they used to treat wounds.
Aloe.
You get cut in your hand, then you kind of get... you put some of that, and it makes the wound heal quickly.
Well, iodine?
Honey.
Well, probably have
honey!
A time,
you told us already it's honey. I learned it like 2 minutes ago from you.
No, one second. No, this is something different.
What okay.
Iodine?
Honey was used, dears, but this is like to keep, keep infection. What was the other item?
So it's not iodine? It's not aloe?
Some kind
no.
of... They didn't have antibiotics by any stretch, right?
Well, actually, you're on the right track. Yes, they did.
Witch hazel?
No, they got it from
Alexander Fleming, Egyptian.
Penicillin?
They got it from when you have bread sitting down, this bluish green thing, fungi.
Fungi.
They applied that in the wound that healed. People didn't get a fever. Truly, I mean, we have not really advanced that much. I mean, we can, thank the ancient Egyptian for a lot of things that we have with us.
The ancient Egyptians are so smart, why are they all dead?
Well, listen, they lasted 5,000 years. Tell me what civilization lasted that long.
Thank you, Eid.
And by the way, they don't disappear. Just civilization went from them to the Greek, to the Romans, to us. It really, they never vanished. It's just continuation.
Okay.
Thank you,
Thank you, Eid.
Great fun.
Next call.
Bye. Thanks.
You're on Minds Over Matter. Hello. Hello. Nope, no other call. Oh, okay. So I have somebody in the booth has an answer to one of your questions. Is Boys of Syracuse Comedy of Errors?
Yes.
It is. Ding.
Ding.
And Joanne or Steve, which of you? Joanne gets the credit for that.
All right. Nicely done, Joanne. Ding.
Ding.
General direction.
Yeah, we're still looking for the official buzzer, and the ones on the phone that I downloaded don't work, but I'm working on that. So
if someone could call in with a bell.
No. All right. So do we have a call or not? Right now? Nope. So, Kira, it's up to you again. Another
All right.
question.
Let's... Oh, is that a... Okay. Sorry. All right. So, in 1977, as Greg Peed, he wrote and co-produced a documentary film strip entitled Coal Town, Newcastle, Australia, in which he explored socio-political issues pertaining to coal mining in Australia's Hunter River. In 1980... Oh, sorry. In 1980, he legally changed his name, and since then, he's become better known for his wildly inaccurate comedy films about historical figures. By what name is Greg Peed now known?
Wildly inaccurate films about... Wow. Steven Spielberg?
Nope.
All right. So he made documentaries?
Mm-hmm, including one called Coal Town, Newcastle, Australia, in which he explored socio-political issues pertaining to coal mining in Australia's Hunter River Valley. In 1980, he legally changed his name, and since then he's become better known for his wildly inaccurate comedy films about historical figures.
Mel Brooks.
No.
You got it.
Yes, it's... Wow, he proved that Marie Curie was hot. He split the beer atom.
With the chisel.
I'm remembering the ad. It is Yahoo Serious.
Yes, Yahoo Serious.
And wait a minute. Wait for it.
Okay, we have a bell.
And it's 7:15. Time to go home. All right.
So
time to show the film strip.
Yeah.
Only 10 stand-up comedians have ever sold out Madison Square Garden. Who are they?
The Dice Man.
That's right.
I believe he was first.
Dave.
I don't know. He wasn't first.
Really?
I don't think so. No.
Kevin Hart?
He's another one, so that's two, so you're done.
Dave Chappelle?
No.
Okay. Chris Rock?
Yes.
That's okay. So we're looking, okay, how about Jerry Seinfeld?
No.
Oh, no kidding.
Mm-mm.
So the three we have are?
Andrew Dice Clay, Chris Rock, and Kevin Hart.
What about The Rock?
No. let me think here for a second. Who might else be on that list? Well, we'll leave it out there for the callers, and we have a caller, so you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Hi, this is Terry in San Francisco.
Hey, Terry, welcome.
Hi, thanks. I think My Own Private Idaho was an adaptation of more than one of the Henry plays.
Yes, particularly it is, yes.
Yeah, mostly Henry the Fourth, Part Two, I think, but...
I show Part One, but I'm going to give it to you for even knowing that it was a Henry play, so...
Okay, thanks.
That's good. Do you have another, Terry?
Nope.
Oop. There we go. I think we have another call. Welcome. You're on Minds Over... you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Terry was efficient.
Oh. Okay, we're still a little confused here. Okay, so Jeremy, you're up.
Sure. This is stolen wholesale from my friend Chris King. I thought this was a neat question. What two films released in the theater last year share their titles with songs found back-to-back on Simon & Garfunkel's fifth and final album, 1970s, Bridge Over Troubled Water. Back-to-back track titles on that album are movies from last year.
So one was The Only Living Boy in New York.
That's absolutely one of them.
Okay.
Ding.
I think there were three last year Simon & Garfunkel songs. So, and this one followed it on the album.
Huh? Actually, no. This is the second one on the
second
album.
One. All right. That's very talented. Okay.
Yes. That is track 8. I'm looking for track 7.
All right. Oh, our studio audience says Baby Driver.
And we're done.
Yeah.
Very nice.
White, thank you very much for that one. All right. Very good. All right. So now I think we have some callers ready. Hello. You're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
Hi. This is Sandra from Oakland.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi. I wanted to answer the Shakespeare one. I think She's the Man is Twelfth Night.
It is.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. All right. And that's all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. The next call, you're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome. Oops. Okay, sorry. I'm still having trouble reading the board. All right, so I think it's my turn here, and I have here, let's see, you guys might be a little too expert on this, so I'll give you something that you're probably also expert on, but we'll see.
You can give us questions for
experts. I found five acronyms that I wasn't sure were acronyms, but they really are, meaning the words that we know are them are actually an acronym, and I want to know what they stand for. All well-known words. The first is SPAM. Number two is TASER. Number three is CARE, as in care package, the care part of care package. Number four is ZIP code, the zip on zip code. Number five is Midas, and there's a bonus one, Geico, for Geico Insurance. So I'm looking for the exact meaning, or the exact, not the exact meaning, the words that are go into the acronym that makes up SPAM, TASER, CARE, as in care package, ZIP, as in zip code, Midas, and Geico. Give you like 1.5 each.
1.5, all right. Yeah. Zone improvement plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll say, yeah.
But
I wanted
spam
to pick my
isn't,
half.
What?
Yeah, a
yeah spam
I've heard
just
it is spiced
ham.
Well, not according to the website about spam.
Oh,
it
okay.
actually has a I know that's what it is, delicious as it might be, but it that's not
baked
what it is.
Are off.
Yeah. So we're looking for spam, taser, care as in care package, Midas, and Geico.
Sure, I'll take my half. Thomas A. Swift. Someone want to finish off the...
It's...
For Taser,
yeah,
Thomas A. Swift is based
yeah,
on the Tom Swift books.
Right, it's like electric rifle
that's
or something.
It. Very yeah. nice. Thomas A. Swift, electric rifle. The guy who invented Taser was a big fan of the Tom Swift thing. All right, so you each split the half. Kira, do you know one?
No, I had zip code as
all right.
well.
All right, so we're looking for spam. We're looking for Midas. We're looking for Geico. And we're looking for more callers. So if you get a chance, please call in. The numbers are... 415-841-4134. Hold on. And the other number is, and it's toll-free, of course, 866-798-8255.
Isn't GEICO something like Government Employee Insurance Company?
It is. Very nice. That is exactly what it is. Woo. Now available to the entire public, I think. Okay. We have a call. Welcome. You're on Minds Over. Nope, we don't have a call. Sorry. I keep doing that. Okay. Give me a signal when we do. And so we'll go for another round of questions here. Kira.
All right. Let's try this. After an on-air F-bomb caused him to lose his primary gig in 1981, what actor ended up playing accordion on the B-52's album Mesopotamia and in several episodes of the punk rock public access show TV Party?
Charles Rocket?
Yep.
Wow. I know the 1981 F-bomb, but nothing else in that.
Accordion player,
wow.
Charles Rocket.
Wow.
Yeah. Things did not
shockingly,
go well for that
I knew
man.
That too, right. Right, that he had a quick end to his career. Do you have another quick question?
Yeah. How about this one? A 1992 VHS stand-up special hosted by Paula Poundstone was only available to people who sent in box tops from what Kellogg's product that the comedian regularly claimed she ate a box of each day? No, you don't get this because we talked about it.
I'm still going to say it's Ring Dings.
Still not Ring
still
Dings.
Still not Ring Dings?
No.
So it's going to be a junkie cereal, right? Because otherwise it wouldn't be, it's not going to be like
I don't remember
granola.
Her saying cereal. But...
It'll be a Kellogg's product.
Yes.
Oh, but not necessarily
aren't they one
a
of our sponsors? No.
So it's not necessarily a cereal?
That's true. It's not necessarily
okay,
a
so
cereal.
Okay, so read what it is again, a Kellogg's uh-huh. product?
A box tops from what Kellogg's product that the comedian regularly oh. claimed she ate a box of each day.
She must eat Pop-Tarts.
She does.
Sounds like a Pop-Tart kind
yep.
of woman.
Clearly.
Yeah. All right, we have a call here. Welcome to Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, hi. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
I'm not watching the Golden Globes.
Excellent. You're watching us instead. We look great tonight.
I can tell you how everything
great.
Turns out anyway.
Here's one, rock and roll.
Ooh.
Who was Curtis Mayfield? He was a lead singer of what Motown group?
The Impressions. Were they Motown?
Well,
Impressions.
It was the Impressions. I
absolutely.
Would assume they were. Yeah, good. So I get a bell.
You do. And so does Jeremy.
Oh, okay. Bonanza, the TV show.
Uh-huh.
Give me the four main actors on that show, the father and the sons. So, I want their
was Pernell Roberts
stage
on that?
Names.
So why don't you take one?
Was Pernell Roberts on that show?
Pernell yeah. Roberts is one.
Lorne Greene is
yes.
one.
Number one hit maker. That's a rock and roll question right there.
Let's see. There is, Michael Langdon.
Michael Langdon,
who ended
yes.
up on Little House of the Prairie. And then the big guy.
Big guy.
Cartwright.
Ben Cartwright.
Yeah. Was that his name? Ben Cartwright?
Ben Cartwright was Lorne Greene.
Oh,
that's
character. His name? Dan Blocker.
Dan Blocker.
Wow. Here. Yeah.
You got him.
You got all four. Good yeah. to remember the Bonanza trip. Very nice.
Well, the Bonanza was great.
It was.
It's a short live show. I must have missed it the week or two it was on.
So I will have one more question.
Sure.
It's great. There's nobody calling. I feel like
I think they're watching
Brooks.
The Golden Globes, except for you and
I don't
the four of us.
I don't have television anymore.
Excellent.
And it's okay. I can live with it.
I'm watching it on my phone.
The Doors. Oh, I gave away the answer.
Is it The Doors?
Is it Elvis Huxley?
Yeah, well, I gave away the answer.
What was the question?
Well, then we can guess the question. We'll do it Jeopardy style.
Okay, it was
Aldous Huxley's Doors of Perception.
This is going to be the question. Ed Sullivan once banned a rock group from ever being on his show again.
Why would we ever want to be on the show again? We've already done the Ed Sullivan show, I believe is the line.
Wait a second. So, okay, now I'll give you a different question on it. So the Doors were the group that was banned, but why did he hate the Doors?
So I think Jeremy gave the answer. Give it again. It's good.
Well, it's Light My Fire. They went higher.
Yeah, you guys are just brilliant. I love
all the drugs
the show,
I do.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call. Very nice.
Girl, we couldn't get much better.
Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe, Jeremy, you're next on the docket here.
Sure, why not?
Good.
In 1922, Edwin Perkins invented a product called Fruit Snack that, after one small change in 1927, became what product still popular today?
Well,
in 1922, again, Edwin Perkins invented a product called Fruit Smack that, after one change in 1927, became what product still popular today?
Was the change like in the formulation of the candy? I'm assuming it's some kind of candy.
I wouldn't say it's a candy.
Oh, no?
No.
So it's not Juicy Fruit. That was going to be my first
guess. It is not Juicy Fruit.
Okay.
I would consider
it Jujubes.
It is not Jujubes.
Okay, something less candy-ish than that.
Well, Juicy Fruit is more gum, which is not necessarily candy.
It is neither a gum nor... I think it is very reasonable to say this is neither a gum nor a candy.
Okay. Right. Is this a nutritious thing?
No, I think not.
Not a gum, not a candy. Is it something you eat?
It is not something you eat.
Is it a chapstick?
No.
Okay.
I feel slightly misleading by saying it's not something you eat, but I think that's valid.
Oh,
that's
that must be something you drink?
It is something you drink.
All right.
How about Kool-Aid?
Yeah.
The major change he made between 22 and 27 was removing the liquid, and it is indeed Kool-Aid, which was then sold, of course. It's the official soft drink of Nebraska, by the way.
I've been to its museum.
Yeah, you have.
You've been to the Kool-Aid Museum?
I have. There's a picture of me poking the Kool-Aid man with a stick.
All right. I assume it's a World Heritage Site.
it's on many people's bucket list. Well, not Akira's anymore. She's scratching
up.
All right. Welcome. You're on Minds Over Matter. Hello. Hello.
Hello, is that me?
It is you. Welcome.
Oh, hi. This is David Novakland.
Hey, David. Hello.
Hello?
Yep.
Yeah. So I have an answer. Someone just beat me to Fruit Smack being Kool-Aid. But the Double Life.
Mm-hmm.
Movie, Othello is what you're looking for.
It is what I'm looking for.
Nice.
Bell for you.
Yeah, Ronald Coleman is not exactly based on Othello, but he's playing Othello in the movie, but yeah.
Very nice.
And then, I have a question for you.
Sure.
So, what president, there's only one president who has this, this is a question I asked maybe 5 years ago on the show, but what president whose first middle and last names contain all the vowels and the letter Y?
Ooh.
Lyndon Baines Johnson?
No, you.
Ooh, that was quick.
I picked with a Y and just ran with it.
Yeah, well, that was good, though.
John
Tyler doesn't have a middle
name. Okay. Yeah, oh, Ulysses S. Grant. No, O.
Simpson.
Yeah, okay, Ulysses S. Grant.
No.
Oh. U-I-O.
What's missing from Ulysses Simpson Grant?
No O.
In Simpson?
Is that his middle name, Simpson?
His birth middle name was Simpson. He changed it. You're right. His birth name was Hiram Ulysses Grant, which definitely does not have an O, unless you spell Hiram funny.
Right.
So we're still looking for the president whose combined name has all the vowels plus Y.
Yeah.
Great question.
Yeah. You got another question for us while we think about that?
Will we stall?
Well, I got another question if you like.
There's no you in Kennedy. I just passed that one.
We're getting notes from our audience.
Well, it's good that we are because she's getting like half the questions for us.
Should I give it? Why don't you give us the answer?
You want the answer?
You know what? Give it to the board and we'll save it and remind us at the end to get this one. I think it's a good question. Nobody look it up, but somebody will get that. That's great.
Okay, well, I have one more question
if
you want.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
Okay, sure. What do Australia
and Egypt have in common in game show lore, if you will.
They're both countries.
That's true, they are, but they have something more in common.
In game show lore?
In game show, or if you will, trivia show.
They use the pound as currency? I mean...
No.
Do we might need a hint.
Australian dollar, Egyptian
pound. Okay, well, I'll give you. I'll specify it. You with Minds Over Matter and the Jeopardy. Australia and Egypt have something in common.
Along with us, brilliant panelists. That's what I go with first.
The word Australia.
Yeah, regarding Jeopardy and Minds Over Matter, Australia and Egypt have something in common.
Hmm. Well, we had a question about Egypt and a question about Australia on the show already today.
Right.
That's not it, though, right?
It's along those lines.
Are you calling from Australia and Egypt at the same time right now?
Not currently. A couple of weeks ago, I was.
All right.
So we might need the answer to that.
Okay.
Is this where the most
the most common answer in Jeopardy history is what is Australia?
Really?
Yeah.
That's great. We'll give you your own bell.
And I'll let you figure out the other part, half of that, as far as pertaining to Mind Over Matter.
Very apt indeed. That's
got it. And if you'd like me to leave with the answer with the board.
Yeah, leave the answer with the presidents of the board and remind us at the end to do that.
Anyway, it
is just past 7:30, so I think it's time to kind of get the questions that are still out there. Kara, what do you have remaining out there?
I am looking... Hold on. Sorry.
That's right.
I'm looking for the Shakespeare play adapted, even if it's very loosely, in Get Over It, the 2001 Kirsten Dunst vehicle, and Warm Bodies from 2013. And then I am also looking for 7 of the 10 stand-up comedians who have sold out Madison Square Garden, and we already have Kevin Hart, Andrew Dice Clay, and Chris Rock.
And not Chappelle and not Jerry Seinfeld.
Not Chappelle, not Jerry Seinfeld.
And can I ask, are any of them, say, pre-1970?
No.
Okay, so it's not Martin and Lewis didn't do it, huh?
No.
All right. Okay. Do you have some questions out there?
I had you guys came up with the actor who replaced Kevin Spacey as J. Paul Getty in All the Money in the World. But the second part was, hypothetically, if he were to, that 88-year-old, were to win an Oscar for that role, he'd be the oldest winner of an acting Oscar. Of course, I mean competitive winning. A record currently held by whom? And I did mention that this person was 82 when this person won.
No, that's
And you
wrong.
Mentioned it was a male, too.
I did.
We've all forgotten.
That's why I didn't bring it up again, but fair enough.
It hasn't helped us. Do you have others?
I do not. That's all I have outstanding right now.
And I have two questions outstanding in the Sue Grafton, Kinsey Milhorn books. We're looking for which book, and it follows the pattern of A is for Alibi, B is for Burglar. Since Jeremy knows them all, he can't answer anymore. We're looking for the D, the L, and the S for Dana, Lori, and Sue. And then I had a question about acronyms. I'm looking for what SPAM, CARE as in care package, and MIDAS might stand for. And we'll take a call. Welcome. You're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
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 This is Sacramento Slim.
Oh, hey, Sacramento Slim.
I just tuned in. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's
and
okay.
I think I have an answer. I think the question was, President with all the vowels and why?
We're looking for that. What do you got?
Would that be Rutherford B. Hayes?
Hello.
Rutherford Burchard Hayes. You've got an A-Y-E-I-O. You. There you go. Nice.
Very good.
Thank you,
Sacramento Slim. That's great. That one stumped us.
Got.
That's all you got? Do you have a question for us?
No, I wish I did.
I wish you did, too. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Put me out of my misery. Thank you.
We have another call. Welcome. You're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Hello. It's Herb in Ashland, Oregon.
Hey, Herb.
I think it's Ulysses Simpson Grant.
Well, explain why that wasn't a good enough answer.
Yeah, that works, except his birth name was Hiram Ulysses Grant. I was all on. I liked that answer for a little while, but yeah.
It was accurate as long as his middle name was Simpson, right? But it turns out not to be true.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a bell anyway.
Okay. That's it for me.
Okay. Very good. We good? All right. I think it might be my turn. So I'm going to ask this question here. The premise is a little confusing even to me, but I think I understand it. So I'm looking for the city and state names that combined are the longest with the following parameters. The cities have to have over 500,000 people, and both the city name and the state name just have to be one word. So Los Angeles, California would be eliminated, and Providence, Rhode Island, because it's two words, would be eliminated, and New York would be eliminated because it doesn't
population.
Have enough letters.
Oh.
Okay, so there's six of them that have 18 letters or more. So I'm looking for the ones with the most letters, and that's what the question is. So which city and state combined have the most letters?
With Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, Florida is tied for third on the list. Very nice.
Sacramento, California.
That is tied. No, it's in second place by itself.
Oh,
just making
boom.
Just making the 500,000 part.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. I just watched Lady Bird like 2 hours ago.
That's right.
So.
Well, it just barely made it in there because of its population. It was hovering around that. So we got Sacramento, California, Jacksonville, Florida. I'll give you one more each.
I'm sorry. Did you... Oh, does Wilkes-Barre count?
It's too small.
Oh, okay.
Hohokus, New Jersey or something.
Hohokus does not count.
It's hyphenated. Yeah,
but New Jersey's two words.
Okay.
Yes. And it's not big enough.
What about Philadelphia, Pennsylvania?
That is number one on the list.
Nice.
Where my grandson lives. So that's why it came to mind there. So we have Philadelphia, Sacramento, and Jacksonville. We're looking for three more to complete the list.
So many big cities in five-letter Texas. That's so unfortunate.
There are. Dallas, Austin, Houston, they're all, yeah, but they only have 11 and 12 letters.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Why isn't that on my
list?
It's too small, right?
But the length probably doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's probably like 17 or something.
Yeah.
I'm going to make myself feel better.
Check my list, yeah. I'll give you a half a
minute.
Actually, it does work. Because Pennsylvania on its own is 12, and you said it had to be 17 or more?
But is Pittsburgh big enough?
It's more than 500,000 people, okay. I would think.
I would think so, too.
I mean, I left, so it's fewer now.
One less.
I used to live there, but yeah.
All right.
Very good. I'm going to
know
it.
Yeah, all right. Great. Perfect.
All right, very nice. So we'll leave there's three more to get that have 18 and 19 letters, and I think we have a call. You're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Hi, this is Tim in Bussey.
Hey, Tim. Welcome.
So I was going to give you Rutherford B. Hayes for the present question, but someone beat me to it. So I have a question for you.
Well, we'll give you the bell because that was a tough one to get with Sacramento Slim. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So my question is about place names. And the question is this. There are two place names in the world that I can think of that have a feature in common. And those two places are Berkeley, California, where I live, and Mount Everest. And the question is, what specific feature do those two place names have in common that no other place in the world, that I can think of at least, has?
Are these geographical features?
Does it?
Well, they have to do with the name.
Does it have to be Berkeley, California?
Yes, so Berkeley, okay. California, and Mount Everest.
Okay.
As opposed to like Berkeley, Michigan, like it only works
with
Berkeley.
Or just the word Berkeley.
Right. So it only works with Berkeley, California?
Well, any Berkeley actually would do it. I didn't realize that there were other Berkeleys.
Okay. At least with different spellings. I mean, there's Berklee School of Music and all that.
Does the spelling count in this?
Not Berklee School of Music. Not Berklee School of Music, but definitely any town named Berkeley would probably qualify.
But does it have to have the Berkeley, California spelling, the Berkeley?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it has to be that spelling.
Hmm. And does it matter if Mount Everest, the mount part, is abbreviated or spelled out?
That's a good question.
It doesn't matter. It's just about the name. It doesn't matter. The mountain part doesn't matter at all. It's just the Everest part and the Berkeley part.
And they both have
something
three
that's
E's
a little unusual about.
They both have three E's, but that's not enough, is it?
Yeah, that's not it. It's not really about. In a way, it's about the spelling, but it's not about the three E's.
Okay.
Is it honey? Oh, sorry, that was earlier. Sorry.
Not honey this week, no.
You've gone to that well once too many.
Yeah. At least once.
The honey well is used up.
That line.
All right.
So, are they pronounced differently than the person after whom they're named?
Exactly. That's exactly it. I don't know any other place in the world that has that feature. Maybe there are, but I'm not aware.
I didn't know exactly Everest. It. How's Everest?
Give us the correct pronunciations of both of them.
Well, all right. So Berkeley is named after a British philosopher named George Berkeley, whose name is spelled the same as Berkeley, but is pronounced Berkeley.
Right.
And Mount Everest was named after a colonial administrator in British Columbia, in India, who's named, I think also a George, but his last name was pronounced Everest, so it's only two syllables, and it was not Everest, but Everest.
Excellent. We're probably going to get calls of other
Seattle
places.
Seattle is named after Chief South or something like that.
Well, there might be other ones.
Spelled differently.
So spelled the same, but pronounced differently. All right. That's very good. Thank you very much for your call. That's wonderful.
All right. Thank you.
I think we have another call. Hello. You're on Minds Over Matter.
Would that be me?
It would be you. Welcome.
Oh, great. All right. So I got some Kinsey Milhone. It's not Kinsey Milhorn. I'm sorry. That's been bothering me.
Oh, sorry.
I have two out of the three answers, and I will guess at the third.
Great.
I have S and D, which are silence and deadbeat.
Yes. S is for silence, and D, which is Dana's letter, is for deadbeat. I just wanted to point that out.
I sit here in judgment.
Yes. And do you have the L?
Lori's last hosting game.
I'm going to guess that the L is lawless.
It is lawless. Boy, you get three, and you corrected my pronunciation. Thank you for that. That's great.
I also have an answer for the combination of city and state name.
Mm, great.
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Ooh, yeah, that's gonna be good.
That is it. That's on there. Very nice.
Oh,
you have more than that?
No, I don't.
That's very
good.
But
I do have very cold feet because it's freezing outside.
Yeah.
All right.
Go inside.
Thank you.
Put on some socks. All right. Very good. Do we have another call waiting? Hello. You're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. It's Tom in California.
Hey, Tom in California. How are you?
Good. Oldest winner of the Academy Award. Is that Henry Fonda?
It is not. Good guess, though. He is one of the oldest.
Did you get the Sue Grafton ones already?
They were just gotten, but do you want to say them for fun?
I thought maybe L for larceny.
No, L was for lawless.
Ah, lawless. Okay, I thought S is for, I don't know, skullduggery.
It could be, but it turned out to be for silence.
Silence. And D? Did you get D?
We did, but what do you have?
Oh, I had a silly one. It was D for demeanor, as in misdemeanor.
Yeah, also good, but it turned out to be
my drag queen name. But
deadbeat.
D is for deadbeat. Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
The Ten Things movie, was that Taming of the Shrew?
It was, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, I got a bell. I'm happy. comedians for the Madison Square Garden. How about Steve Martin?
Nope.
Robin Williams?
Oddly, no.
Wow.
Emo Phillips?
Who is still fantastic.
Two
years ago. Amazing still.
My favorite.
Yeah. And the Yahoo guy who made the
Yahoo film. Series yeah. probably yeah. didn't sell out yeah. completely.
And not the former the former Mrs. Emo Phillips. Not
Judy
her.
Tenuta.
Judy Tenuta.
Yeah,
well, let's see. I've got one question. The word of the year. I saw the Oxford Dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
The word of the year for last year.
There were a bunch of dictionaries had different ones. One picked feminism.
Yeah, the Oxford one picked one that was...
not feminism.
No. Okay. That was actually coined in the 60s, which I thought was strange.
Oh.
Are you just asking us to name it, I assume?
Yeah.
Okay.
And is it a one-word or a two-word phrase?
It's a portmanteau word. So
oh.
There you go.
Is it portmanteau?
You mean that was
1860s?
Word of the year.
Yeah.
That was the word of the year last year.
Yeah.
All right. Give us a hint.
A hint? It's something that's common in... Well, one of the words is a common geological...
something quake?
Yes, there you go.
Youthquake. It's
youthquake.
That's
right.
I heard that. Very nice.
Which was... Do you know who was coined by?
I'm going to say...
I'm going to say Timothy
Sean
Leary.
Connery.
Oh, Allen Ginsberg.
Timothy Leary.
One of the editors of Vogue.
Oh, really?
Vogue.
Yeah, Diana Vreeland.
Really? All right. That's nice. That's good intel. Thank you.
And she also coined one other word back in the 40s, apparently. It was the first one to use it in print, anyway.
Accessorize.
No, but it has, three Z's in it.
Pizzazz.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very good.
Not too many words you can't play in Scrabble that you should be able to.
Yeah.
No.
So
she gets
credit for Youthquake, you know what I said, and Pizzazz.
That's
quite a legacy.
Yeah, amen.
All right, let's take another call. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, and since there's a substitute, this is Fred and Ethel here in Oakland.
Sparky, thank you for being both Fred and Ethel.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Hi. Okay, another city with lots of letters. How about Seattle, Washington?
Seattle, Washington didn't make the cut. Why? How many letters does it have? Oh, it has 17. And I was
got
looking
17.
Yeah, but I'm looking for 18 and more. So you're just below the cut line on that one. Sorry.
Dang.
I'll give you half a bell.
Nothing for the comma. Yeah, Seattle, comma, Washington.
Okay. Selling out Madison Square Garden. How about Dane Cook?
Yep.
Yes, that is correct.
Nice.
How about George Carlin?
Yep.
Ooh.
Okay. Oldest to get an Oscar. How about George Burns? Although
excellent.
That may have been supporting.
Supporting is fine. A supporting lead, male or female, although I feel like I've given the game. It is not George Burns, though.
Yeah. All right.
Sunshine
and
Boys.
Spam. It's either something posing as me.
I feel like that seems like Hormel would do that. That seems right. Yeah.
Oh, that's.
Or.
The last word's correct. Yeah.
Spiced ham and more.
That's truth in advertising, but neither is what the spam people actually meant it to be. They're looking to upgrade it
plus
a little bit.
Plus, I think
bit,
that would make it Sham, right?
Oh, wow. Nice.
Also an excellent product
yeah.
name, Sham. Yeah.
Truth in advertising even more, perhaps? I don't know.
No. All right. No, I can't think of anything more. I think we're done.
Okay.
We're done.
Thanks, Sparky. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you all, too.
Okay.
Bye.
I think we'll take another call. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Bill from Daly City.
Hey, Bill from Daly City. How are you?
Fine. Okay, cities and states with long names. Tallahassee, Florida.
Tallahassee, Florida is on the list. I forget how many it has on it, but that's good. What else? Do you have more?
The oldest actor to win an Oscar, was that Melvin Douglas?
It was not. It was not.
Okay. Comedians at Madison Square Garden, I don't know, Bette Midler?
Ooh. No. No, not her. I'll say that there is one female on the list, but it wasn't Bette Midler.
And not Judy Tenuta. We've covered
and
that.
Not Judy, yes.
Lily Tomlin?
No. Also a good guess, but nope.
Okay. Thank you. That's it.
All right.
I bet the female on the list is super recent.
Yeah.
Yes. The female on the list is the 10th person added to the list.
Yeah. How about Wanda Sykes?
Nope. She won? So would you like to go ahead and take that?
No.
Okay.
So we had a call correcting on another one in the Barkley Everest.
Yeah.
Caller called into the board and said that Houston, Texas. That
Houston.
Houston.
Yeah.
So that's there's a
wait. Sam one pronounces his name Houston. So the street in New York is Houston.
Yeah.
The city is Houston.
Yeah.
But the dude was Houston.
According to David from Oakland, and thank you, David, for Oakland.
You mean David? But
yes.
Yeah.
From Oakland.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. I think we'll take another call. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hey, Peter.
With a question. The French are famous for their gastronomy. One of the items that we don't really relate to so much is the snail, but the French love them quite a bit. How much do they love them? How many do they eat per year?
Seven.
Are you talking about the entire population of France?
The entire population of France.
And you're looking
and per
for
capita.
Tonnage? Or are you looking
snailage.
For...
snailage.
You're looking for
obviously.
Per
within
capita?
5 million.
Within 5 million? I'm going to guess 5 million.
No,
100
way low.
100 million.
What's the population of France?
More than 500,000. But unfortunately, France is six letters, yes. And that's, yeah.
They're only looking. Boy, this is tough. I'm going to go for 150 million snail.
You're way low.
Way low.
150 billion snails. Now we're negotiating.
I'm going to say 400 million snails per year.
You're getting closer, but a little
still
bit more.
Low.
Is it honey?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, sorry.
I think you might have to tell us the snail answer.
Yeah.
500 million.
500 million.
So how many, what's that turn out to be per capita?
I don't know.
I don't either.
There's no way to know.
It's funny. There is no way to know. Yeah. All right. Thank you for your call.
All.
Okay. Thank you. Hello. Next call. You're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Hi, my name is Sarah. I was just wondering if Pedro O'Toole was the oldest recipient of the Academy Award.
He is not the oldest winner of an Academy Award. He went 0 for 8.
Oh.
Great guess. His last... I'm trying to think how old he was when he was nominated for Venus. His last... that's going to be close. But he didn't win, he's not
the answer. Is he the one with the most non-wins?
Okay. He is
Would
the
Would it have been Laurence
actor.
Olivier?
It is not.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I don't think he won for acting. He won for director and picture for Hamlet, though. Olivier.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Which was in 45, and he was young. Or not 45, 48.
Do you have a quick question for us?
I do, but first can I guess Chattanooga, Tennessee on your list? Or is that not 500,000?
It's not going to be the population.
It's not big enough. Yeah. Didn't okay. make
Having been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
it's a delightful town. Yeah, exactly. And I left, so I cut. It was 501. Yeah.
All right. Statistically, a perfect scary movie, according to mathematicians at London's King College. What 1980 film was significantly less favorably received when it was released than it is now, earning zero Oscar nominations in 1981, but Razzie nominations for Worst Director and Worst Actress?
In 1981. So this is in what genre?
It was a 1980 horror movie, perfect horror movie.
Is this
perfect scary movie?
Was it intended to be released as a horror film? All right, that answered that. Can't stop the music.
No,
I can't think of a major female lead from that. The Gutenberg, the Goot, but you know.
Yeah, that was. Wasn't that a year before? No, it was 1980. Yeah, right.
That was the first.
It was
Razzie
the first
winner,
Razzie.
I think.
Yeah, it was like
worst picture.
Yeah, between that and Xanadu.
All right, stay focused.
I
don't have this at all.
Okay, so, once again, statistically a perfect scary movie, according to mathematicians at London's King's College. What 1980 film was significantly less favorably received when it was released than it is now, earning zero Oscar nominations in 1981, but Razzie nominations for Worst Director and Worst Actress?
Somebody out there will know it.
It seems like wordplay or something. I want it to be. It's not. I keep.
It's not wordplay.
Right.
The crossword documentary. No.
Wrong year. Right. And director's very talented.
Anyway, we'll go to the phones here. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Poppy in San Francisco.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Happy New Year to you all.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. For the oldest actor, would that be Hume Cronin?
It would not.
All right.
All right.
We've ruled out both Cronin and Tandy now. Excellent guesses,
dear,
of course.
Sorry. All right.
And most of the cast of the Sunshine Boys. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
Well, the 1980 movie, would that be Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
No.
Ooh. Too late.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you
Have
very much for your call. Let's keep going to the phone. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, my name is Bongo, and I'm in San Rafael.
Hey, Bongo.
I'm guessing Amy Schumer for Madison Square Garden.
That is...
How about Phoenix, Arizona for some long titled names?
The population, but it's too short.
So Amy Schumer's a yes?
Yes.
And Phoenix, Arizona doesn't have quite enough letters. We need we need to get 18 or more.
Certainly has more than 500,000 people.
18 or more.
Yeah, it's a big enough city, but too few letters.
Sweet. And here's a question for you. Who is the famous Italian director who created a film about Christ returning to Earth and visiting a family that owned basically Fiat Corporation and altering the lives of everyone in that family?
And you would like the title of this film,
no,
right?
No, he wants the director, it sounded like. And I've heard of this.
Director or the title, either one.
Is this like someone who's known for actually directing straight film, I mean normal mainstream films also, at least
Let's
arty.
Put it this way. He was a bisexual communist who was assassinated in the early 70s for his beliefs and his dedication to novel and interesting ideas.
Walt Disney.
I wish.
Touché.
Sorry.
No.
Sorry, Walt.
So he doesn't mind now. wow, assassinated in the late 70s.
Give us another clue.
He was an anti-cleric and he was an atheist film director with leftist tendencies. And his films are quite amazing. One of them was a remake of Canterbury Tales, which is also incredible.
Oh, was it Pasolini?
Movie.
Yeah.
How about Piero Pasolini?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, very nice. Thank you.
But the film,
12
the film
Days
is
of Sodom Christmas, though.
Starts with a T.
The film title starts with a T? I don't.
It does. Where he comes to Earth as Jesus and visits the family that essentially owns Fiat Motor Corporation and
the Jesus
and has an effect on everyone in the household. It's an amazing film.
I think you should tell us because I'm looking at the clock here. What is it?
Okay, it's called Teorema, which means Teorema. Theory.
All right,
nice.
It's Italian for theory.
Thank you very much.
A mind stretcher. Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you. Let's keep going to the phone. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, I was wondering if this is Jerry from Cupertino.
Hey, Jerry.
I was wondering if the oldest actor would have been Jack Palance.
It was not. It was not. Jack Palance was certainly old when he won for City Slickers. But.
Right. All righty. Thank you.
Thank you. Next call. Hello. You're on Minds Over Matter. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello? You're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
For the Madison Square Garden, and I apologize because I tuned in the middle of the program. Hopefully I'm not repeating it twice.
We love that. Don't worry.
Andy Kaufman.
No. No, not him.
It was not him. Okay. No. All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we have time for a couple more calls. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes. Has anybody guessed Kurt Douglas?
For the oldest actor?
Not yet. I don't think he's even been nominated for an Oscar. He definitely hasn't won one. I don't think he's even been nominated.
Oh, I wouldn't know. His name just popped in.
No, great guess for an old actor
not
who worked late in his
life.
Career.
Lust
not
for
less
for no.
Someone no. else won for that, of course.
Yeah, Anthony
okay.
Quinn, right? But he wasn't
Thank
even nominated.
You.
I don't think so.
Thank you very much. Okay. So it looks like I'm trying to see. I think we could maybe go to the answers here. Oh. I mean, the final answers, unless you have a really quick question. I have a super quick one.
Okay.
Okay?
Let's hear
in
yours.
2017, there was a rare sports occurrence. I wanted to get a sports occurrence in called a sports equinox.
Yeah.
What is a sports equinox?
So there was, what was this? There's a, was it three different postseasons happening simultaneously?
No.
All-star games?
Nope.
Or was it, I don't remember. Or was it, there was...
It is something happening simultaneously, but not three All-Star games or postseason games.
Yeah, that doesn't... Okay. Oh, it's the, was it the very center of something?
No.
All right, I got nothing.
As far as I know. Okay, I'll do it when I do my wrap-up.
And I've even heard
here.
Of this. So.
Anyway, so let's go to our wrap-up here, and we'll get it. We have time to get the answers to the questions that are still out there. Go ahead,
All
Kira,
right.
What do you have?
So, Get Over It, the 2001 movie, was based loosely on A Midsummer Night's Dream. And then Warm Bodies was, of course, Romeo and Juliet. Beautiful.
How could we not know?
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, it was so much better. The 10 stand-up comedians who've sold out Madison Square Gardens, they include Eddie Murphy, Russell Peters, Louis C.K., and Aziz Ansari. And finally, the statistically perfect scary movie that was not very favorably received when it was released, I think even Ebert had problems with it, that was The Shining, statistically.
Oh, you forgot. You should have just told me a movie I don't like. Oh. If you had just said that, I would have been The Shining.
Yes.
So what made it statistically perfect? What does that mean in this
It had to do with suspense and shock, and there were a bunch of graphs, so I can't break it down for you.
All right,
sorry.
Science.
Jeremy, science.
We had a lot of calls for the oldest actor, so save that to...
I'll read the question again and see if you guys want to take any more stabs at it, including in the booth. What actor replaced Kevin Spacey's J. Paul Getty in All the Money in the World? You guys got that. And then I asked you, hypothetically, were that 88-year-old to win an Oscar for the role, J. Paul Getty in All the Money in the World, he would later this year become the oldest winner of an acting Oscar, a record currently held by whom?
And this is clearly a Best Supporting Actor award. Supporting.
Both of them would be, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is not Art Carney.
Not Art Carney. And it's not Christopher Plummer, is it?
It is Christopher Plummer.
Oh, there you go.
It is, in fact, the reason I have not said the words Christopher Plummer out loud until right now because of exactly that.
So
he would be replacing himself.
Okay.
Nice. Very
good.
Nice.
All right.
Perfect
All right.
way to end
That's
the show.
That's very sneaky. Do you have anything else out there?
Well, that was not sneaky enough. No, that's it. That's it for me.
Okay. And we got the Sue Grafton novels, and we have the, the acronym. SPAM stands for officially Special Processed American Meat. Ooh. Surprised no one got that. The care package is the Cooperative American Remittance to Europe. That's what it started. That it started in the 50s. And MITUS, believe it or not, stands for, let me see if I can find it here, Muffler Installation Dealers Association Service. Believe it or not, that's what MITUS is. And the cities that we didn't get that had 18 letters or more are Indianapolis, Indiana, Boston, Massachusetts, and Nashville, Tennessee. Did somebody call with Nashville? I missed
it. No, we had a Chattanooga.
Yeah, we had a Chattanooga.
Too small.
So that's what it is. And welcome. Thank you very much for tuning in to Minds Over Matter. Be sure to listen in next week. I want to thank Steve Wilcott for handling the board and Joanne Marr for being the engineer. If you didn't catch the whole show, you can catch it during the week. It'll be up on the KLW website. I want to thank Kira Pace, technical editor. Thanks, Kira. Jeremy Horowitz, cryptographer and wit of honey and more and other things like that. I am Lori Fisher, your guest moderator. I'll see you back here in a couple weeks, and the show will be back live with Dana Rodriguez next Sunday night. Thank you so much, and good night.